What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm Jedi, and with me always is Houdini and Deepaw. What's poppin', boys?
Yo, how we doing, boys? I missed you guys.
Dude, it's been a while. I miss you guys every week. This is the best part I look forward to every single week. I'm telling you right now.
Aw.
No, I don't like you that much. You guys are right.
Well, there was a lot of sports this weekend. You got the NFL playoffs starting off, but college football has concluded, and Michigan is your national champions. Look, this was expected on my part. I did say this. You both had Washington, which I thought was surprising. I know Michael Penix Jr. is good, but I thought Michigan just had the complete team there. But at what point did you think Washington actually lost this game? Because it started to be a little bit of a blowout towards the end.
Actually, Deepaw and I were texting.
I was just going to say, go back to the text message.
It was what, 17-3 at the time?
17-3, that fourth down miss by Penix to Odunze.
Yeah, which was – Penix threw a nice ball there. Odunze kind of got tangled up in his feet, kind of got turned around. There was plays that could have been made on Washington's side. Like, they were close. And that game is so much closer than what that score reflects. I do think, looking back on it, that's a loss that they wish they had back. I thought they played decent, but the offensive line was terrible. I think that's where they got exposed the most. I wouldn't be surprised if Penix has a broken rib. But to highlight one is Roger Rosengartner. Rosenhosen. number 73, I believe, is the right tackle for Washington. He got exposed all night.
But granted, it is against essentially like almost an NFL caliber D line. Like, there's going to be a lot of dudes playing on Sunday, and that we kind of knew that going into it. It was going to be, can Washington give Penix enough time to be able to throw the ball? And they looked shook in that first quarter, man. They you're right. I think the score wasn't indicative of it being a closer game. But that first quarter, it was game over. In my opinion, Washington looked shook as soon as that quarter was over.
Yeah, and I just think he was running for his life. It kind of reminded me of the Chiefs situation right now, which I'm going to kind of touch on that a little bit later. But we talked about this. If it was over 55 points, we were going to roll with Washington. If it was under 55, we were going to roll with Michigan. I didn't expect Michigan to have 303 yards on the ground. That's a serious issue when you're going against that type of team that doesn't turn the ball over.
Yeah. And they're a ground-and-pound team. They had two big, long runs, too. And you could just – what was that running back's name? Edwards.
Donovan Edwards. Six carries, Jets. 104 yards, Jets. 17 yards per carry. That's unreal. Blake Corum, 21 carries, 134 yards. The two of them had four touchdowns. So, but once again, I look at McCarthy's numbers, 10 for 18, a buck 10, 40. Yeah,
10 completed.
You know, a QBR of a 58.4. And I think that's where the difference was between Washington and Bama. Bama was able to shut down the run, and Washington wasn't. So that's where I think the game was lost, was the inability to, A, protect your quarterback, and, B, the inability to stop the run.
And it comes down – that's what I love about these types of matchups, too, and the biggest stages is they're both really, really good teams. So, like – they're both going to perform at a really high level and have done it all year. It's who can dictate their style of play to the other team. And clearly Michigan was able to dictate their style of play, able to win the game, completing 10 passes, running for 300. That was, you know, a win to that was a perfect win for Michigan, basically.
Yeah,
just a lot of mental mistakes. And you can't make mistakes like those against a team like Michigan. Those two big false starts, I think it was by the center. Really, big game changing plays there, but
momentum killers. Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of false starts though, did you guys see the one play where everybody had a false start except for the center on Michigan?
There's always crack me up, man.
I mean, the ref obviously stopped the game and the call was really easy on the mic. He said, false start, everyone but the center. Did he have to do him that dirty like that?
I mean, I feel like you have to, you know, just,
it is funny, too, because you could just clearly just say offsides, offense. Like, you don't have to say everyone but the center.
Yeah, I just – dude, I don't know. And to be honest with you, like, it was kind of a boring game. It was good because finally you get two undefeated teams. Both – I just want to be very clear. Both of them deserve to be there. However, when I'm watching the game, I just expected a little bit more. Yeah, you just hit your finger really hard. I expected just a little bit more in the second half. It was a 17-3 game in the second half. It just wasn't that exciting at all.
Yeah, and I think that comes down to Washington built their entire offense and succeeded all year with explosive plays. And correct me if I'm wrong, might have to look this up, but I'm pretty sure they didn't have a play over 20 yards. I think I heard that somewhere today.
I think they had one. I think
all right,
it
so was one, that. Right. So on an offense predicated on explosive plays and touchdowns and you know, long pass plays, they weren't able to do it.
Yeah, there was no broken tackles. It was a very clean game by Michigan, and that's how Michigan won all year.
Yep.
Do you think that, oh gosh, everybody's going to be going in the comments saying, why are you still talking about this? And I get it, but it is a question that has to be asked. If Georgia was there, does Georgia beat, who would they have played? Well, I guess they probably would have played, it would have been Washington, right? Because they probably would have played Michigan. They would have been the four spot.
I think to answer your question, I think they beat Washington, and I think they probably beat Michigan in a really, really tight game. Like, I'm talking like 2017, 17-14, some low-scoring affair.
I think that would have – yeah, I think it would have been a closer game, you know, depending on who you ask, a better game. I'm sure Michigan fans thought it was a great game last night or two nights ago. But I think Georgia would be able to defend Michigan's style of play better than Washington was able to. And that's no knock on Washington's defense. They got studs and playmakers all over their defense. It's just Michigan was able to do Michigan things, and I think Georgia would have been able to stop it a little bit.
J.J. McCarthy, Michigan's quarterback, do you think by any means that he played bad? Last week we were talking about if he's overrated or over-glorified quarterback. I'll just say this dude got blasted in like every post that I've seen. I don't know if it's very much deserving or if just people are like trolling or maybe they're jealous or something. I mean, there, just put it this way, there were a lot of comments calling him the greatest future car salesman.
You know, let me go first, Dino, because you hit the nail on the head a couple podcasts ago. He's a system quarterback. It's a great system, and he does it really, really well, and he's talented. Like, he completed 10 passes in a national championship game. Like, that's part of his system, and you can't dispute that. Not saying he's not talented at all, but clearly something's working in that system.
Yeah, so his numbers are stupid this year. If you actually like look at them, they're off the charts insane. But when you look at like his QB rating against what I feel are the better teams that he faced this year, he threw for a 94 QBR against Ohio State, a 70 QBR against Iowa that has a legit defense, but they literally won 26-0 because Iowa couldn't score if they played a 20-yard game.
What are the pass attempt numbers in those games? Those three.
So, Ohio State, he was 16 for 20, 148 with a touchdown. Iowa, 22 for 30, 147. Alabama, 17 for 27, 221, three touchdowns. And then Washington, 10 for 18, 140, no touchdowns. So, his QBR rating against Washington was 58, so not that great. Bama, 91. Iowa, 70. Ohio State, 94. Right? So, like, when I look at like who he's faced, he's definitely a system quarterback. And this is what I'm going to tell you, right? If Jim Harbaugh goes anywhere other than San Diego, he will draft J.J. McCarthy.
Because of Herbert.
Yeah. If he goes to the Chargers and he has Herbert, I'm telling you right now, that offense will be unreal.
Everywhere he goes, the dude wins. I mean, he's putting himself into Hall of Fame type category of coaching. So when you look at him as a program builder, he's got to be one of the best coaches to do it. He's done it at high school, college, and about, you know, at the pro level with San Fran, about to be something even in, I think he's going to jump to the NFL. So I think he's making the next wave.
Yeah. I also think he's jumping to the NFL. And if you look at his quarterback development as well, you know, you got to look at that too. Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick, McCarthy, right? Like, I mean, there's one more and I can't remember who it is, but like when you look at those quarterbacks and the success that they had under him, right, it shows something. So I do think he is a system quarterback. Do I think he's a good pro? I don't know. It's hard to say.
Is he going
to
be a backup somewhere in 5 years?
He'll have a backup career for sure, but it's ironic because I look at him the exact same way I look at Brock Purdy. never thought Brock Purdy was going to be good. Brock Purdy's really good.
I mean, he was in the MVP consideration up until the last like 3 or 4 weeks when he lost to Lamar. And the other thing I want to bring up about JJ too is like, I'm not knocking him when I say he's a system quarterback. The dude also makes 3 or 4 plays a game in every game that typically don't show up on a stat sheet, but are just winning plays. Like the dude's just a winner. I think he's what, 25-1 as a starter in the college. Michigan? Like, right.
I think he's 27-1.
Right.
He only had one loss at Michigan. I know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, now he's got that ring. So yeah, I mean, his coach said that he was the greatest in the program history. I mean, now you really almost have to say it because he has the ring to say it.
He's a winner. So if you're a team that's drafting guys, that's looking to build a winning culture, he's going to fit that culture.
Yeah. I mean, also too, speaking of the head coach though, he did after the game, the way that he was talking, it sounded as if like he was preparing for next year. So I don't know if I'm buying 100% maybe that he's leaving. Maybe it's just to say, like, get people riled up that, oh, he's staying. But I don't know, the way he was speaking, it was as if like, you know, recruiting, getting back here next year and just keeping this momentum going for the Michigan's football program. You buying that at all or no?
So I think he's going to go. And one of my good buddies is pretty well connected just with college football. And I don't know if he's got an actual source or if he's just, you know, pretty good at disseminating it all. But he thinks that the NCAA isn't done with Harbaugh yet and Harbaugh's jumping ship to kind of avoid what is going to be coming down the road for next year. Because, I mean, they clearly have it out for the guy, too. Like, there's been some pretty petty shit they've gone after him for.
He has to go. If he doesn't go.
And you can't go out on a higher note than this. Like, you brought a title back to your alma mater.
Yeah, when you talk about, like, draft stock and all that stuff, his stock as a coach right now is at an all-time high. If he doesn't go now and something else comes down on him, it could prevent him from landing a job in the future. It could end his coaching career. If he leaves the NCAA now, the NCAA can't touch him, and they're not going to go after Michigan. So to save the program, he has to go.
Got to go.
NFL playoffs are going to be starting soon. We got all the brackets and everything. Deepaw, your Steelers are making it there. I'm sure you were excited about that.
A little shocked.
But what is the game that's most intriguing for you? Just so we don't have to go through all these because there are quite a few.
Okay, I can start because there's one on my mind right now.
It's the 100%. The NFL scriptwriters were on fire this weekend, boys.
Yeah, it's the Dolphins-Chiefs.
That is mine, too. That is mine, too.
Yeah,
I got another one.
It's Dolphins-Chiefs, and the interesting thing is we talked about this. The Chiefs tried to take Eric Bieniemy from the Skins literally yesterday. The second they fired Ron Rivera, they contacted the Commanders organization and asked if they could bring him back.
No way.
As the offensive coordinator for the playoffs. The Skins blocked it.
For the playoffs?
Yeah, the Skins blocked it, which is kind of a dick move if you don't plan on hiring him as the head coach. So I'm a little iffy there. The Skins also have asked the Cowboys to interview Dan Quinn, which would be the worst hiring ever. But when I'm looking at the Chiefs and Dolphins, the Chiefs have beat the Dolphins this year before. I think it was 21-14. You have a banged up Dolphins defense. It's kind of frustrating to see how that season has kind of unfolded. But I do think it's the premier game to watch. If there's snow, it's going to be unreal.
It's supposed to be 0 degrees, I believe, in Kansas City. So that should make it interesting. And, you know, the knock on Miami all year is they struggle beating good teams. And then you throw on top of that being on the road and then being in sub-zero temperatures. I think the Chiefs are going to walk away with that one. The one I'm most excited for, obviously, other than the Steelers, is Matt Stafford returning to Detroit. I think that's going to be the coolest one. A massive blockbuster trade. It's one of those trades that's a blockbuster that actually worked out for both teams. It doesn't happen very often. I feel like Jared Goff got better in Detroit. Matt Stafford continued to play at that high level, even picked it up with a better play caller in Sean McVay. I hope that the Lions fans show him some love because the dude took a beating in Detroit and really was the only hope they had for a while once Megatron left. So that's the one I'm most hyped for. And honestly, I'm good with either of those teams winning. It's one of those rare games where, you know, I'm not really rooting for either team.
Yeah, both two great games. I went with the Dolphins and Chiefs too. I don't know. Do you think that it's time to hit the panic button if you are a Dolphins fan? Obviously, they're a little bit banged up. Is Waddle still hurt too?
I think the expectation is him and Mostert are back, but that was a do or die game. That was a do or die game for them last week, and they didn't play him.
Yeah, that's I don't know. Maybe because they knew they were going to the playoffs. I don't know, but
Would you rather play in South Beach or at 0 degrees in Kansas City?
I think playing in Kansas City alone, forget about weather, is already scary enough, especially when you're at Arrowhead too.
Yep.
I mean, regardless of the weather, you know what I mean?
And regardless of how poor the Chiefs have looked this year, and don't get it twisted, they've looked horrible at times. It's still Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, one of the best play callers of all time, in Arrowhead, one of the toughest places to play. Like, good luck, buddy. Good luck. And that goes for any team going in there. Well, I guess the girl just barely...
If you're looking to put a bet, you can't bet against those guys.
You can't. Yeah, you just can't do it.
You know? So I think this is probably one of the most interesting brackets I've seen. Now, anyone that's watching football could say, sure, the Ravens could end up playing the Niners and no one would be surprised. However, those wild card rounds are going to be very interesting.
We'll have to see. There's been some breaking news in the baseball world. We talked about him a few weeks ago. Shota Igmanaga did not say his name properly, but he is the throwing philosopher from Japan. He signed with the Chicago Cubs. So, truth or fluke, Cubs getting a surprising signing here. But without Cody Bellinger, is this team lost? I'm going to say truth. And when I ask this question, it's because this dude is a pitcher. Yes, they got another arm for themselves. However, Cody Bellinger was electric in that lineup. He was their number three hitter. And they have not spent a dollar outside of this dude all offseason. And there's not really a whole lot on the market. I don't see them getting Hader. I don't think he goes there. And he's even a closer, so it really wouldn't matter. And I don't see them getting Snell. And they don't really have a lot of trade chips to bargain from without losing something essential or valuable to their team already. So I think they kind of dug themselves in a little bit of a hole here.
I think this is a truth. I'm looking at their roster right now, and realistically, there's only two guys that I would want on this team, right? I would take Ian Happ, and I would take I would just assume Belly, right? I would take Belly as well, right? So like looking at last year's depth chart, I would only take those two.
Take Nico Horner? He's a pretty good second baseman. He bats like 300 every year.
I can find a fucking second baseman anywhere, dude. Like, you know what I mean? I would. Ian Happ is a switch hitting outfielder, and Belly is a lefty, right? So if I'm a Yankees fan, which I am, those are the two that I would take. Seiya Suzuki. I mean, maybe
he had a better first year than last year. Yeah.
Yeah. So like your addition of Craig Counsell is gonna be the difference. I don't think so.
That's my big knock. I think it's truth, Jedi. I think both you boys hit it right on the head. If your biggest acquisition to this point was the manager, you got some issues, bro.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing nothing in.
Yeah, I mean, they made it sound like they were just gonna a huge difference maker was going to happen, and they were going to bring all these guys in. If you recall, they were in on a Shohei Ohtani, at least we thought. And then when it kind of came down to the wire, we heard the Dodgers, the Angels, and the Giants, like, you know, they really weren't even in that picture at all, which was surprising because all pre-off season, all we heard was that they were saving a bunch of money to really go after him, and they never got their guy. And I really, unfortunately, don't think there really is anybody left on the market that will do them any favors other than Cody Bellinger, but it seems like he's probably not going to go back there. But time will tell. Maybe he will. Next one up, Marcus Stroman is a bum. Do you see why he was in the news recently?
No, do tell.
Yeah, do tell.
Stroman said that he's interested in playing for the New York Yankees, and he said this on Twitter. Why is this interesting, you may be asking? Because less than 3 years ago, Marcus Stroman blasted the New York Yankees fan base, organization, and Brian Cashman personally, saying that he doesn't know what he's doing, and say that he would never play for an organization like them. He's still mad, it seems like. This feud has gone back a little bit because Brian Cashman said that Marcus Stroman was not a game changer when he was originally on the trade market when he played for the Toronto Blue Jays. I believe he was traded to the New York Mets. So he kind of has been salty ever since. Look, prime Stroman was awesome. He was filthy, had great competitiveness. Now, in my opinion, I just think he's really annoying and complains about everything and takes everything really personal. He's really soft. This is so truth. Marcus Stroman is a bum right now. Nobody wants him. He has no other choice than to tweet this.
Animated pitcher on the mound, high emotion guy. 6 years ago, would have loved him. but I loved Carlos Rodon too. You know what I mean? Like, I just, I don't think Frankie Montas. Yeah. Like, I don't think he helps any ball club, let alone as an ace. You know what I mean? Like, he's a 4 or 5 or even a 6 spot starter guy, long reliever type guy. There's just no way. You want to talk about bad contracts? Whoever signs him next is giving him a bad fucking contract. Also, I forgot to say this when you talk about the Cubs. The Cubs do have the number 2 ranked farm system in the MLB.
I didn't even know that. Yeah. Wow.
So,
shame on me.
Yeah, they have 4 or 5 guys that are ranked as tier 1 guys that
maybe
could start day 1. Pete Crow Armstrong apparently will start in center field day 1.
Yeah.
So that's where they could be banking on the idea of just like, let's just go young for a year under Council.
Right, but yeah, I was gonna say, how great do you really feel going into that with like, hey, these young guys have to step up. There's no, you know, contingency plans or anything.
Your call too. Stroh was also a Cub last year.
No,
he had a good first half until he got hurt. Then he was really bad.
Right. So I just feel like when you're talking about farm systems, it's their prospects until they're not. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think that's why the Yanks have always traded them because if you looked like, have we got burnt on any prospect that we've ever traded that we're like, fuck, I wish we had back? No. So now other teams hit. You know what I mean? The Diamondbacks fucking hit. You know, is this a situation where the Cubs do? Because back in 2014, 15, 16, the Cubs were hitting on every single one of their prospects.
Yeah.
You know, like a name that everyone forgets, Addison Russell. No idea where he is, but he showed up for a year. So
DA issues, yeah.
Yeah, so
did he win a ring? He might have.
Yeah, no, he was a shortstop on that team. Yeah, he was a shortstop. So
I didn't know if he got kicked off by then.
No. So I do think that they'll be okay. But to answer your question about Stroman, he fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's not prime Stroh, and that is kind of a funny thing, having to go back like that on his word, talking all that shit on the Yanks, the entire tri-state area right there, basically.
I know. The funny thing is that he grew up a Yankee fan, but claims he was a Mets fan. The dude is from the Bronx. Like,
dude,
come on.
I told you everything you need to know.
Come on.
If you are from the Bronx and you're not a Yankee fan.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
You don't like baseball.
Yeah,
that's just what it is. Give me a break. I don't mean to keep bouncing around too, but I just think you bring this to my attention now when you're talking about farm systems and you're talking about the Diamondbacks bringing out everybody. I don't think anybody is even close than the Los Angeles Dodgers. I've never seen anybody like pull up like fake names and then them become like superstars. Like who is Bobby Miller? Like what kind of name is that?
Emmett Sheehan.
Yeah. These guys come out. James Outman comes out. Like who are these people?
Start of the year.
Never heard of any of them in the MLB pipeline. They just come out and they're all studs. I don't know what the Dodgers are doing, what they're feeding them, but every other team needs to do whatever they're doing because they're doing it right.
The Dodgers are ranked 10th.
Still, like they bring up somebody every year, and they still ranked up.
Where them Buccos at? They're pretty top 5.
And allow me to tell you, Dalton Rushing is their number 1 prospect, who is a catcher, hit .310 with 23 home runs, 62 RBIs in 64 games in his junior year at Louisville.
Mm. Sounds about right.
So, that could be a dude for them here soon.
What position is he?
He's a catcher.
Of course.
And did you see they signed Teoscar Hernandez too?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They're going all in, dude.
That was a weird signing.
No, it's not. He's
DH.
He's also a platoon guy. He'll hit lefties.
Yeah.
The Pirates are ranked 12th. Obviously, Skeens is their one. And then you have obviously Tamar Johnson. Nasty.
You know, it's funny enough.
Up there, yeah.
Yeah,
I was talking about this with my friends. My friends from New York came down to hang out this weekend. It was fun. But we were talking a lot about the Yankees, talking a lot about baseball and this offseason so far. And something that we just kept talking about that's kind of weird is that a lot of these guys that you wouldn't think are getting this like big money, like I don't know if it has to do with like actual government stuff with inflation, but a lot of these guys are just getting money that I would never think that they get. Like Teoscar Hernandez got $23 million. Like that's a lot. Don't get me wrong. I know it's a 1-year deal, so it's like kind of like a flyer thing. But still, $23 million. Josh Hader supposedly wants like more than Edwin Diaz, like over $20 million a year for a guy to pitch one inning.
Yeah, but
like, what are we? Where are we going with baseball? Like, this has to stop. This is getting crazy.
No, but we talked about this before, even like regarding the NBA. Like the Knicks have a guy, and Jed, I know you know nothing about the Knicks, but the Knicks have a guy named Evan Fournier. They signed 4 years, $76 million. He does not play.
I've never even heard of him.
He doesn't fucking play. The most playing time he's going to get is in the fucking Summer Olympics for France. I'm dead serious. So,
4 for 76.
Yeah, the money is getting out of control. And if you notice, the one sport
it's across
that's
all
not
sports,
like
yeah.
that.
Hockey.
Hockey. It sucks. Yeah.
Thanks, Gary.
Last one up, though. Brian Cashman earlier this offseason said that he wanted the Yankees to be the mecca of baseball again. They have yet to spend $1 this offseason. So, truth or fluke, Yankees will sign someone this offseason. I'm going to say fluke. Look, I know that Burns, I think that would be a horrible trade just because I know that they would have to give up so much stuff for Corbin Burns. I don't see it being worth 1 year.
Yeah.
Blake Snell, I see him being a fluke. I know he just won the Cy Young, but if you look at all his seasons, it's like up, down, up, down, up, down. He's also
a
fly ball pitcher.
Lefty Cy Young, yeah.
Yeah. He's also a fly ball pitcher, and that never does well in Yankee Stadium, so I would never do that. And then there's a rumor now that I actually called, not on this podcast, but my friends can't justify this, that they would sign Josh Hader. And I said that that would just be the most random signing of all time, but I would see the Yankees doing it. And now they're rumored to maybe be flirting, talking with him, but I still don't see it happening. I'm saying fluke.
The answer is fluke. We're not going to sign anybody. We're probably going to trade for somebody. We're probably going to hate it until they're fucking nasty for us.
No, I think Cashman must be smoking that dope or something, man. Clearly the mecca of baseball. Let me rephrase that. He may want it to be the mecca of baseball, but the mecca of baseball is in LA and it's going to be in LA for the next decade.
Now they're saving their money for some other Japanese sensation or Juan Soto in this case. And there will be no signing. They will walk away. They will get outbid because they're the New York Yankees. They don't spend money anymore, even though they like to say that they're a big market team.
No, seriously, I have a question. George Steinbrenner's alive.
Ohtani is a Yankee, and so is everybody else. Because
so
he would have paid him $1 billion.
Do you just mean that he would just be like, all right, whatever they give you plus one? Or like, you know.
No, I think he would.
He would have given him a blank check.
Correct. He would have given Ohtani a blank check and be like, write the number that you want.
100%. Like, you don't like the East Coast, will overpay.
Dude, like, I understand, like, the Yanks got a lot of shit for, like, buying their championships, which they didn't because we've talked about it a million times. But in this situation, there's zero shot George Steinbrenner would have let that dude walk out of the room of a meeting without
getting a signature. Especially garnering comparisons to your franchise's all-time, you know, best player, the Babe. Like,
correct.
Gotta go
to them. I'm telling you, he would have been like, do you want $1 billion? We'll give you you want to defer it? No problem. We'll defer it until your grandkids are taken care of, dude. George would have gotten it done because George didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, you know, I think for Yankee fans, it's tough because if you follow the Yankees, Brian Cashman has been saying this, like the mecca of baseball, Hal Steinbrenner, who's the partner with the New York Yankees and the owner
the
right
acting
now.
Moron.
Yeah. He's said in recent interviews and in past interviews in the last maybe like two off seasons, this off season included, about how the Yankees want to be back on top. You know, they're serious about winning and how they're not done. We're not done yet is the big quote that he had as like saying that we're not done. We're going to keep adding more guys in. And they haven't. I mean, you can argue Juan Soto, but Hal said that there was going to be more coming and there hasn't been. So I don't know what we're waiting for. Personally, for me, I think that if the Yankees sign Blake Snell, I think it's more of just like a waste of money and is going to be a problem to where you're going to be stuck paying another guy like a Rodon $20 million a year for a dude that's going to have a 4.5 ERA. I'm not saying Blake Snell's not talented. I just don't think that he would fit in New York because he's a fly ball pitcher, and I think there'd be a lot of home runs given up.
No, dude, the evil empire died with George Steinbrenner.
There'll never be another ring. That is the curse. Everybody always says that, what's it? There's some sort of curse with the Yankees. The curse is that George is no longer with us, unfortunately. It's time for the best 60 seconds of your life with Houdini and Deepaw, breaking down everything that's happened, the latest in the NHL.
Deepaw, we talked about this earlier today, right? How deep the Metro is. Right?
Crazy.
And I think you'll say as a Penguins fan, right? Like, they haven't had a good season.
No, absolutely downright terrible to start the year.
And you have four teams right now tied with 44 points.
Crazy.
For the last wildcard spot. Devils, Caps, Pens, Detroit, which I would love to see the old original six team get back in it. And then you have Tampa, who's still creeping right behind with 43 points. Yeah. Right? Obviously, Ottawa's the worst team in the league. But – or I'm sorry, the Sharks are. It's not even close. But when you look at, like, the Metro – is it, are we going to have five of the eight teams in the playoffs from the Metro?
Yeah, I think so. It's really deep. And, you know, the Metro was kind of beaten up on themselves a little bit early this year. They're about to go start playing all these other teams across the NHL. I think the Pens played the Flyers last night and don't play them again until like April or something like that. So you're starting to get into that point where you're going to go beat up on some other teams. I think we're going to see it. I think we're going to see five teams get there. It's really deep. It's really talented. I just don't see any of these teams kind of letting up or anything.
Now, in an interesting surprise trade, Flyers trade their number one prospect, 19-year-old Cutter Gauthier, traded from the Flyers to the Ducks for a defenseman and a second-round pick. The 19-year-old top prospect was named the best forward at the 2024 World Juniors.
Wow.
Right. I need your immediate feedback.
I'm a little shocked. I mean,
told the Flyers I wasn't going to sign.
If you're coming out saying that, yeah, it's not shocking. You know, if the kid's not going to play for you, you got to trade him. I'm shocked. I'm honestly a little shocked by how well the Flyers have done this year. So it's a little gut punch to have your number one prospect want to bail on you like that, though.
That's it for your best 60 seconds.
Thank you for that. As always, always great. But before we get out of here, Houdini, what's your final thought?
All right. Well, I have two. One's sports related. One's movie related. The sports one is there is now a professional women's hockey league. Deepaw, I don't know if you've seen this.
I may have been the first goal, actually, the other day on Friday.
There are two rules in this league that are very, very interesting.
Okay. I don't know either of these. All right.
One, if you are shorthanded and you score, you get your guy back.
Love it. Is the penalty still going?
No, he comes back.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Goes to even strength.
Wow. So a shorty and you get your guy and the penalty is over. Love it.
I kind of vibe that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other one is the point system is the 3-2-1, very similar to what they do in Russia, if not the same. For a regulation win, you get 3 points. KHL, dude, it's nasty. For a regulation win, you get 3 points.
Okay.
Overtime win, you get 2.
So prioritizes going for it in the regulation.
Overtime loss, you get 1.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there would be like a serious discrepancy in points in the NHL regarding teams that have overtime losses. Yeah, nowadays, yeah. Like when you're pushing for overtime, and I know you've been sitting in the same chair, you're like, let's just get a point. We're playing like shit. The last 5 minutes is nuts. Just get it's a freaking like point.
Win. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now all of a sudden you get that point. You know what I mean? Like now you need the other one.
Right.
You know? So I do think that's cool. Yeah, those are the two interesting ones that I saw, which to be honest with you, I don't know if you guys have watched women's hockey. Yes, it's slower, but it's still like they're really good.
You know, other than the Olympics, I really haven't watched any. And, you know, it was kind of I think it was Friday night. I was just flipping through, didn't want to watch any NBA and saw it on, I think it was like Toronto and New York were playing like that. Jerseys were pretty cool. And yeah, it's actually good hockey too.
Yeah. Now, obviously, like the shots and stuff. Now, anyway, my second one is for Jedi.
Okay. Ooh.
Jedi, did you watch the Golden Globes?
Yes, I saw the Oppenheimer won Best Picture.
Oppenheimer won Best Picture.
It won a lot of stuff.
Best Actor in a Drama, Motion Picture, Cillian Murphy. Best Supporting Actor in a Motion Picture, Robert Downey Jr. Best Director of a Motion Picture, Christopher Nolan. Oppenheimer. Best Original Score, yeah. Ludwig Göransson. Oppenheimer. I'm telling you, boys. It's a clean sweep at the Academy this year.
It's not the Oscars yet, dude.
Ah.
They literally made an award to give Barbie.
What was it?
It was
like the greatest achievement or something. Like, they literally like they made up an award that was new.
Cinematic and box office achievement winner.
Yeah, see? That's what I mean. They literally made up a new award to give the Barbie.
It's a participation trophy, Jesus.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
Oh.
Who can make the most money? You know what I mean? Like it makes no sense. But I haven't seen Poor Things yet. Apparently that's getting some like ridiculous attention. I think Emma Stone, it actually has a really fucked up plot. Like she dies and she's like brought back or some shit. But apparently that movie's getting a lot of attention. I think it's going to have a similar feel to like what Parasite had back in the day.
Yeah.
So very interested.
Yeah, that one Best Picture, didn't it?
Yeah. And actually the rich guy in that movie allegedly killed himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Allegedly. I don't know yet. Might've been murdered.
Oh, I did see that he passed away. But
also, I was in Dallas and went to the JFKX.
Oh, okay.
I got questions. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it right
Let's
there.
Let's talk about it.
I got a couple questions for some people. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what you know what I mean? I'm not going to say it, but I got a couple questions on how it went down. Those are my final thoughts.
Well, that'll be all from us here at Hot Shots Podcast. But if you need to keep up with your sports news or want to hear some cool rankings, then subscribe and follow all of our channels at Hot Shots Podcast. Until then, we'll talk to you next time. See you then.